Hey, how's it going, everybody? You're listening to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Hey, what's up? This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. Once again, my name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Thanks a lot for joining us today. You know, today we're going to have another one of those show-and-tell episodes. This is actually our ninth time doing this, and just a little refresher to those of you who maybe haven't been around as long as some of our other diehard fans. These show-and-tell episodes are when both Carl and I bring in about, you know, 9 or 10 pieces of music that we've discovered throughout the week or throughout the previous months that we really wanted to share with each other but haven't really had the opportunity to play on the podcast.
Yeah, tracks that maybe don't fit into a specific theme or specific episode, just kind of ones that we've been wanting to share.
Right.
So this is just kind of a hodgepodge of just all kinds of great video game music. And these are honestly some of our personal favorite episodes to do. We love these.
Yeah, so these episodes are just a complete blast. You know, because we just love getting to share and discover new video game music and to sort of, try to surprise one another and one-up each other. I'm pretty sure that I have the superior track list, and I'm sure Carl feels the same.
Yeah, I have to differ. I think what we're going to do, we're going to continue the tradition day of the rock, paper, scissors match for our track of the week. You know, we only have one track of the week on the show, so it's always an epic battle for me and Will on these show and tell episodes. So we'll keep that going today. Just to let you guys know, the track you're hearing right now that we're playing in with is from Tales of Xillia, and this is Clenching the Fists, composed by the legendary Motoi Sakuraba. I'm going to play another Motoi Sakuraba track later on today, but Will, I believe you're going to start things off today.
Yeah, the first track that I'm playing today is from a game that I never knew existed, and I never, ever expected to have good music. I'm playing a track from the game Monopoly 2.
I thought you were going to say Super Mario Brothers, sorry.
Monopoly? No, I'm playing, yeah, Monopoly, you know, the board game. And I used to be obsessed with Monopoly as a kid. And, you know, there's always been little sort of handheld portable versions of this game. But there also has been a history of having sort of console versions of these old board games. And this is one called Monopoly 2 from the Super Nintendo. And it surprisingly has a very, you know, Mario-esque, but also sort of jazzy score. It's very melodic, very pretty, and
Funny how that would be the default music that they would do for any sort of generic SNES game.
Yeah.
You know, like that was the default.
Well, anyways, the track that I'm going to be playing for you today is called Message. And this soundtrack was composed by a gentleman by the name of Yasutsuna Sasaki.
Let's take a listen.
Awesome. We're listening to Message from Monopoly 2 from the Super Nintendo. Yeah, I mean, again, I had absolutely had zero expectations for quality in the soundtrack, but I was so surprised and delighted to find a bunch of these really catchy little melodies. This one definitely stuck out to me because it sort of has a little bit of classical influence as far as sort of the part writing in the beginning, but the rest of it is a little bit more sparse and jazzy, but you know, it really fits the game super well, and I've never been one for playing, you know, video game adaptations of board games, but yeah, I was really impressed with this music, and I think it's cool that, you know, back on the SNES in the 16-bit era, where, you know, there was so much wonderful video game music happening sort of in the present at that time, it's really interesting that even sort of a seemingly sort of throwaway game like this would have such a good score.
Yeah, that is surprising. Now, I know you said you don't like video game adaptions of board games, but you did used to like, when you were very little, used to like those Tiger handheld adaptations of Monopoly.
Right.
I remember there was one that had a really obnoxious, what was it, Uncle Pennybags?
Yeah, Rich Uncle Pennybags.
And it was just kind of
Mr.
disturbing.
Monopoly.
His voice, I remember, he'd be like, "You would like to buy this property?"
Yeah, it was sort of like a robot voice. It was sort of like the early version of something like Siri.
Speaking of Monopoly, there was a old Windows like 3.1 version of Monopoly that had really cool music too for the computer. It had like jazzy.
Yeah, that was super jazzy.
Yeah,
see,
super jazzy.
I remember that. I actually used to play that on the computer, but I would never imagine, you know, going to a home console and
Just doesn't nothing about this music screams Monopoly at all.
Oh, absolutely.
Nothing about it is generic either. Like, this composer really took just as much thought and care as if it was working on an RPG or a classic Nintendo
game.
Just
to talk about the music a little bit, I really loved the structure of that melody, especially how it goes back between those two chords where it goes
and it's such a catchy rhythm, and it's something that is so timeless. Like, you do hear that sort of repetition a lot. Yeah,
right.
That's very effective. Good pick, Will. Nice way to start off today's episode. Well, I'm going to play another Matoy Sakuraba track. Like I said, that one we played in with was from Tales of Xillia. This is from a game called Soul Feast. Now, that is spelled S-O-L-F-E-A-C-E. Soul
More
Feast.
Like Soul Feces.
Soul Feces. And this was for the Sega CD. I believe it's a shoot-em-up game, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, composed by the legendary Matoy Sakuraba, who at some point got to have an episode on the gentleman. Just an absolute legend. So this is a Sega CD soundtrack. I'm going to play Mission 2, Silius Moon. And just want to give you guys a word of warning. My picks today are very quintessential video game music. So a lot of them are incredibly video gamey. I didn't get too much out there. There's not a lot of soft stuff. Like, so most of it rocks and is just kind of, you know, standard fare from what you guys know that I particularly like in video game music. So this is Mission 2, Silius Moon. Awesome, folks. You're listening to Mission 2, Silius Moon. This part is so cool. Oh my gosh, this is epic right here. This is from the Sega CD game Soul Feast, composed by Matoy Sakuraba. Gosh, I cannot not hear Soul Feces. Thanks so much, Will, for getting that in my head.
Sure.
Yeah, this is Mission 2. This is such a cool track. What's so cool is to hear like kind of classic style video game music on the Sega CD, because it's not a set of sounds that I'm very used to hearing. A lot of times when I hear these kind of general MIDI sounds, these Roland MT32-ish sounds, it's very cheesy, and it's something that I'm not as like nostalgic about, those particular sounds. But to hear this level of composition, this level of ingenuity as far as all the part writing, it sounds kind of like Genesis music, but it's on the Sega CD. That does make me smile, because it makes me realize that it doesn't really matter the system that these composers were on at that time. They were in that zone. They were in that era and kind of following the traditions of their counterparts and of their peers. And that's what I'm hearing in this track from Matoy Sakuraba. I'm hearing just a rocking classic 90s video game track, and it happens to be this time on the Sega CD, which I don't hear a lot of high quality rocking video game music. A lot of it's very cheesy, but I think this is one of the best.
Well, I have no idea how the sound hardware for the Sega CD operated. I mean, I don't know if they were using some sort of sound chip, if they were using any of the channels on the Genesis, because I know, you know, the thing is plugged into the Genesis and there's a cable that
connects. I believe there was a sound chip, but most of the soundtracks just used like recorded music, like recorded,
right.
You know, CD, an audio CD pretty much. I think that's what this one used. So who knows what program, whether it was Reason or what program these composers used to sequence the music. That probably, you know, depended on the composer. Yeah,
I actually have heard of this game. I hear that it's one of the better games, that it's supposedly kind of like, it's like a game like R-Type or something.
Okay.
That it's just a pretty competent space shooter. I still don't know why it had to be on Sega CD, because I don't think there's any sort of gimmicky full motion video.
Yeah, I
things.
Have to say personally, the soundtrack is excellent. It's one of the most impressive Sega CD soundtracks that I've ever heard, and that really isn't saying a lot.
Do you know if this was originally an arcade game and maybe this is like
that
a
sounds
port or something?
Yeah, you know, that does sound right. I think this was probably on the arcade. I'll have to double check that, but yeah.
Interesting.
That's my first track of the day.
Well, awesome. Now, the next track that I'm going to play is from my favorite soundtrack of the day. This is also my favorite soundtrack of 2013. I'm going to play some music from Rayman Legends.
Ooh.
Now, that's the sequel to the very well-acclaimed game Rayman Origins that came out a few years back. And I remember Carl and I have played a few tracks from that game, and that had a very good soundtrack. But to me, this game really upped the ante as far as the sound. There's so much imaginative music, and music really plays a fundamental role in the gameplay and atmosphere of the entire experience. So I'm actually going to be sharing three tracks from this game with you today, but definitely I just want to recommend buy the soundtrack because it is available on iTunes, and definitely pick up the game because it was one of my favorite that I played this year. So the first one that I'm going to be playing for you is called Babel Tower, and there were actually two composers for this game, Billy Martin and Christoph Harral. This one was composed by Christoph Harral. Let's take a listen to Babel Tower. Awesome. This really fun piece of music is called Babel Tower, and it's from the game Rayman Legend, composed by Christoph Harral and Billy Martin. You know, I absolutely love this track, and one thing that you'll notice about a lot of the music to this game, there's sort of, as Carl described it, there's sort of little movements, because what happens is as you progress through the game, the scenery may change depending on what part of the level you're in, and the music changes accordingly. And one thing that's also really cool about this game is there's so many different musical motifs that are carried throughout the entire game. This one is one in particular. It's a gorgeous melody, and it's really fun, very film score-esque. It reminds me of Danny Elfman, but in particular, it's very similar to a musical cue from the first two Harry Potter films.
Oh, yes.
Composed by John Williams.
Reminds me also of Last Crusade. just kind of the whole emotional quality of it. Some of those harmonized brass lines are very kind of, you know, scherzo for motorcycle. Right. That whole part of that, the ending of, you know, Last Crusade.
Yeah.
This is a great piece.
Yeah, the
say.
Music in this game is so imaginative, and there's so many different themes that you sort of hear come back up in a lot of even rhythmic motifs, like that one thing is dun 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 dun.
Yeah,
dun,
I gotta
dun,
say I've never heard this track before, and I was really surprised with how film score-y it was. Right. I was kind of expecting more of a cheesy jazz kind of
see
a thing.
Exactly
very
yeah
different than
when
what
we
I was
heard
expecting.
The first Rayman game, you know, there was good music, but I think it was a little bit more understated, where this game, you know, it's called Rayman Legends, there is sort of this medieval subtext to it, so I really got out of it that the music was a little bit more epic and a lot more cinematic, which doesn't necessarily mean better, but in this case, I think it really elevated the experience.
Well, yeah, look forward to two more tracks. Will kind of went crazy with the Rayman Legends today.
I was going
to
do four, but
Carl
hit me.
I had to nix that. Okay, so I'm going to move on.
He beats me, people. I'm abused
over
here.
Another track of mine. This is an interesting one. This is from a game called 1943 Kai. Now, there was originally an arcade game called 1943. It was a shooter. Military themed, if I'm not mistaken, by Capcom. Pretty well-known game. There was kind of like a sequel or a side game called 1943 Kai. And this particular version I'm going to play is for the TurboGrafx-16. And that's interesting because it featured a completely different soundtrack. The original 1943 Kai was composed by one or two composers. For some reason, the TG-16 version of this game had all new music. And it features a lot of great Capcom composers and just a ton of them. So I'm going to list them right now. We have Yoshihiro Sakaguchi, Harumi Fujita, Manami Matsume, who composed the original Mega Man, Junko Tamiya, who's one of our favorites, Daisuke Morishima, and Hisashi Matsuhisha. So I'm going to play Stage 15 from the TG-16 version of 1943 Kai. So awesome. This is Stage 15 from 1943 Kai from the TurboGrafx-16, composed by a bunch of legends from the Capcom sound team. What I love about this song is, I don't know if you guys noticed, but it does key changes. It keeps on modulating every single loop. It goes down and down and down, so the key actually gets lower and lower as you keep playing the song. But again, it's just classic video game music. This is just almost the heyday of just rocking, very energetic video game music, and it's so cool to hear it on systems that I'm not as nostalgic to. The TG-16, I never owned one. The only game I really have spent a lot of time playing was Bomberman 93, which is so different. It's so of its own musically anyway, right, where to hear a theme that it feels like Mega Man, it feels like classic NES, to hear it on the TG-16 really makes me smile.
Well, the TurboGrafx is a very quirky little console, and yeah, I sort of treat it as sort of the underdog of the 16-bit era. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of at the opposite end of something like the Neo Geo, which was just like really obscure, but also incredibly powerful.
Well, there's a lot of promise. There's a lot of potential for these TG-16 soundtracks to sound classic and epic, right, because they sound like it's chiptune music. It really is reminiscent of 8-bit music.
Exactly.
You know, it's so heavily reliant on those square leads and stuff. And that's why if it is a good piece of music like this, it feels at home, it feels familiar, it feels classic, it feels nostalgic. And I think that's what the TG-16 had going for it.
Well, and it is quirky in many ways. You know, the controllers were a little bit more old school, But the games came on these sort of neat little cards instead of cartridges that you would slide in. And then there was also like a CD add-on unit similar to the PC Engine CD. It's the same console in Japan. It's called the PC Engine.
Right.
So I think Carl and I were a little bit confused a long time ago when we used to play a lot of Japanese PC Engine music.
Yeah, I think when we said PC Engine back in the day, we were talking about the CD add-on, which was like the Super PC or the Super TurboGrafx CD.
Yeah, I think it was just called the TurboGrafx 16 CD. But it wasn't a very successful add-on because not many people owned a TurboGrafx 16. And in order to get the CD unit, you needed to already own the console.
But there's a lot of really popular like redone soundtracks where they, you know, have CD quality music,
absolutely,
you know, remixing classic like Falcon.
That's actually one of the only console versions of the original Street Fighter is on the TurboGrafx 16 CD.
Cool. Well, Will, what's your next pick?
Well, cool. My next pick is from a game from the Sega Genesis called Landstalker, The Treasures of King Knoll. And this soundtrack really impressed me. This is one that I'm going to want to come back to for a later show and tell because I was just so incredibly blown away by this music.
Who composed this one?
This is composed by Maruaki Takanuchi.
Oh,
and I know
gosh.
He's someone that you're a really big fan of,
Carl. Huge fan.
Being such a Genesis lover. But this is a soundtrack I'd never heard of before from this gentleman or from the Genesis. And it's absolutely incredible.
I expect nothing less.
So I'm actually going to play two tracks from this game. The first one is my favorite. It's called Let's Go on an Adventure. That's great. We're listening to Let's Go on an Adventure, composed by Maruaki Takanuchi from the video game Landstalker, The Treasures of King Knoll on the Sega Genesis. This is an absolutely wonderful piece of music. It's so imaginative, and it's, again, a lot of his music is so distinct from what we typically hear on the Sega Genesis. A lot of the music in this soundtrack is very orchestral. It plays around with different meters. There's also a lot of jazz influence, but it just feels so distinct from most of the music on the Sega Genesis. One thing that really sticks out to me about this track, one of the reasons I wanted to play it and something that I thought was so infectious, practically every single chord change uses a seventh, either as a major seventh or a minor seventh, and it's really interesting to have sort of every single chord change you get that seventh. There's such a degree of jazziness and sort of an exaggerated emotional quality.
Well, when you have every chord that has a seven, it feels so wandering, doesn't it? It kind of makes all the emotions a little bit more static, and it feels like it's constantly moving and swaying back and forth. Yeah, what I would say, how I would describe Takanuchi's music on the Genesis, confident. He is the most confident Genesis composer I can really think of, maybe other than Masato Nakamura. Like, honestly, Takanuchi on the Genesis is absolutely a match made in heaven. I love the Duel Master stuff is great. His Shining Force stuff, that's something for you guys to look forward to. We're going to be having a Shining Force episode, but
it's something I love about all his music.
There's no one else like him.
You know, it can sort of develop a looped cycle like a lot of good music, but it doesn't take you on as crazy of a journey, I feel.
Exactly.
Like. You sort of start to get into the repetition
of
it.
It's so digestible.
But that's what makes it groovy. Mm-hmm. And it's also playing with more advanced musical things like, you know, chord changes like that. And in the next track that I'm going to play, we deal with some very interesting metric stuff.
What I love about his music on the Genesis is he's taking it absolutely as far as you can possibly go while still being in the genre of like a 50-second Sega Genesis, like poppy song. He's taking it as experimental experimental as that's possible, but it's still digestible. It still is catchy. Yeah. It's going to get in your head, you know? A lot of Genesis people get too out there, or it's too stereotypical.
Yeah, there's another one that was super good that I'm not going to play today, but yeah. We got to go back to a later date. It was like a, it was basically like a Sousa march, mm-hmm. and there was sort of like an implied flute and piccolo yeah. part that was so iconic.
You don't hear classical music that much on the Genesis, yeah. nearly as much as you do on the SNES, so that's great. Well, I'm really excited about this track. This is one of my favorites, and I kind of lied when I said I wasn't going to play anything soft. This is a very soft and beautiful track. It's one of my favorite showcases of the PC-98. Now, the PC-98 has a lot more channels, so some of these composers were really masters of making such a lush, expansive sound that at the time would just really blown people away, especially coming from the PC-88. This was composed by Ryu Omimoto, who unfortunately died in recent years, and he is considered one of the best chiptune composers, at least for some of these computer systems of all time. He is a legend for the Japanese computer systems. This is a game called Yuno, and the full title is Yuno, A Girl Who Chants Love at the Bound of This World. And I believe it was almost kind of like a graphic novel adventure, lots of story elements in it. The music is excellent, and I feel like this is maybe one of the most impressive showcases of the atmosphere quality of the PC-98. Now, when this song starts off, it's very sparse and simple, but once the loop finishes, it all of a sudden comes in with a lusher instrumentation. It's a lot of fun. This is the theme of Yuno. Is a moving piece of music right there. That is the theme of Yuno for the PC-98, composed by the late great Ryu Omimoto. And I just love how it's so simple in the first, version, the first movement of this piece, but when it finally comes in with the full extent of all the PC-98 channels, with a bunch of cool panning effects and volume dynamic effects, it's just absolutely emotional, and it really showcases the technical power of the PC-98 when you have that many channels. So many of the channels can be dedicated to very soft pads and really soft colors that are coming in and out and fading and swelling, and it's just I don't know, I think it's really ingenious.
Totally, yeah, that's a really pretty track. I definitely agree with what you were saying. Nice pick, Carl.
Thanks, dude. What's your next pick?
Well, I'm going to play another track from Landstalker because I just had such a great time listening to all the music in this soundtrack. The first track, if you remember, I played was called Let's Go on an Adventure. And speaking of adventures, the second track that I'm playing is called Adventure Spirit. And as you listen to it, I want you to listen out for some interesting meter things. There's some interesting time signatures and some time signature changes that happen in this. So you'll sort of lose your bearings as far as where the beginning of the measure is. So this track was incredibly interesting, and I had a feeling that Carl would get a big kick out of this one, so that's why I really wanted to play it today. This is Adventure Spirit from Landstalker, once again composed by Matuaki Takanuchi. Let's take a listen. Yeah, that's great. We're listening to Adventure Spirit. There's so many different things about this to love. Musically,
love
it's really
much.
Fun and epic, and there's so many different interesting rhythmic things happening. But right here, just so much craziness going on, because you really lose your bearings as far as the consistent drive. But what's also interesting is you can also look at the whole thing as being in 4-4, and it almost never changes from that. You can just look at it as very complicated subdivisions within the measure. But I think if you're looking at it at a microscopic level, it's very jarring, but there's also sort of a logic and thought behind everything. I think my favorite part of this little tune, it has a short form, but when it goes...
So good. Yeah, this really builds the emotion more than I can really think of on a lot of Genesis soundtracks. It really is more reminiscent of Super Nintendo music. One thing that I love is, like Will said, the meter changes really throw you off guard, and everything about this piece is trying to be intense and trying to be jarring and to catch you off guard. So the fact that he throws those 9-8 meters, just those couple
having
measures.
Having those reggae upbeats at that point.
It's great. But that's kind of what I'm talking about with Takanuchi, of that he's going as far as he can, but he's trying to still keep it like fun and catchy at the same time. And that's what those upbeats represent to me.
Yeah, he has a lot of fun with dotted rhythms and just like, again, it's sort of like we talked about the human touch. I think this is an example of definitely not having the norm as far as rhythms, both even in the melody, even the beginning. Dun, 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 dun. You know, it's very shocking, and there's sort of an abrupt nature to all of those note attacks.
Yeah,
and then he just plays with all that metric stuff. It's
I
really
think personally,
fun.
In addition to a Shining Force episode, I wouldn't be opposed to also having Takanuchi episode. But anyway, we could nerd out about that for a while. I'm going to move on to my next pick, and I think Will's going to enjoy this one. This is very nostalgic for both of us. This is from Super Mario Sunshine.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the sequel to that game. If they made a Luigi's Mansion 2, why can't they make a Sunshine 2?
So many people did not like Flood. But anyway, this is Mario Sunshine. I'm going to play one of my favorite tracks from the game, a track that I've been saving for the entire time we've been doing the podcast. For some reason, I always love this track, and it never really fit in any particular topic. This is Underwater Exploration. It's a very peaceful, beautiful piece of music, and this takes place under Noki Bay. So Noki Bay is the level. This is one of the stars that you have to get on Noki Bay, I believe, when you have to clean the eel. I think the name of the star is
like a boss, where it has the boss music. This is the one where they're like, you jump inside like a bottle to get like red coins or something.
Absolutely, you're right. So this is Underwater Exploration, and this soundtrack was composed by Koji Kondo and Shinobu Tanaka, and I do know for a fact that Shinobu Tanaka composed Noki Bay, so I have a very high suspicion that she composed this as well. Underwater Exploration.
Thank you.
is so peaceful and beautiful. Almost this could be used for music therapy, I believe. This is Underwater Exploration from Mario Sunshine in, I don't know, I think this is a Shinobu Tanaka track.
Hard to not feel in a good mood when you listen to this.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is reminiscent of Noki Bay. A lot of the harmonies, a lot of the instruments that are used, Will mentioned that he kind of gets a little bit of reminiscence of the Sandbird theme. But what I love about Mario Sunshine is a lot of the music is very peaceful and serene, and I think that some of that stuff is Shinobu Tanaka. It really contrasts well the kind of more typical, lively Mario music that you do also get in this game. But this is a really track that it's a nice escape from the rest of the game. Now, there is a lot of stress in this game. There's some camera issues. There's some things that are kind of stressful about it. So it is nice to have these levels. That's personally why Noki Bay might be my favorite level in this game, because it's something about it is a little bit more peaceful. There's, you're always around water, even if some of the water is toxic. That's another track that I want to play.
I love the music and there's some things, but I always found that to be one of the more frustrating
really?
Levels. That whole part where you're sort of invisible and you can only see your silhouette and you're trying to make your way into that always confused me as a kid.
I never knew where to go. Yeah, I don't know.
This game is wonderful. I feel like it's so underappreciated. And the music, again, is so dynamic. You know, it has that tropical vacation setting. So I feel like a lot of the music does that really well. But it still does justice to Mario. And then you have a lot of stuff like this that's just very sweet. And there's very nuanced compositional craft going
on. Yeah, I think some of the Tanaka tracks are kind of underappreciated, in my opinion. I think this would be one of them.
Yeah, the type of harmony that she explores, I don't know, you'd never get in a Mario game, and it's much more ambient, but there's this sort of simplicity and elegance to it, which I kind of miss a little bit.
Yeah, and I can tell that this is MIDI performance here. I'm pretty sure they probably did MIDI on this soundtrack. Interesting, we talked about that, not too long ago with Mr.
Right.
David Wise about his experience on the GameCube. All right, Will, your turn.
Well, next I'm going to play a track from a fairly recent game that I bought off the Wii U eShop. It's I think Carl played a track from this game earlier, but I actually recently bought the game, and it's quite fantastic. It's called Mutant Muds.
Great soundtrack.
And the whole game is a love letter to old 8-bit shooters. You know, you just sort of play as this guy, these aliens attack, and you go around shooting everyone, and it has a lot of fun playing with perspectives and the whole light world, dark world concept. And a cool thing is that the music is all sequenced to sound exactly like an old 8-bit chiptune. So I'm going to play a track from level 1-2. And the composer to this game, his name is Troop Gamage. So let's take a listen to level 1-2 from Mutant Muds. That's level 1-2 from Mutant Muds. Gosh, I really love this track. I think it has a very stellar melody. And what I love is, although it is faithfully sequenced for an NES sound chip, what I think is so great about it is that this composer is actually exploring certain things that I feel like a lot of NES composers never did, sort
True
of
that.
Rhythmically. And there's a lot of things, especially the sort of syncopation in the beginning line, that deck, 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 deck. But this part, I think, is absolutely gorgeous.
Using the portamento, just great. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this soundtrack, so I'm really excited to see Will.
My favorite music from this game is every level sort of has this, like, darker, ghostlier counterpart to it.
Yes, absolutely.
And the music is always fantastic. You know, I found this guy's Bandcamp page, but I don't think he had every single track from this game. He had what said the soundtrack, but I mean,
I don't think it was his. It was actually Renegade Kids Bandcamp page, which is the company that
made
this game.
That makes sense.
Anyway, I'm going to move on to a track of mine. Now, this is my choice for track of the week. So now I think this track and then Will's next track are both of our track of the week choices. So you think now is probably the time to do the rock, paper, scissors?
Let's do it afterwards, because you may listen to mine and just throw your hands up and acquiesce.
I don't think it's going
to
happen. This is from Etrian Odyssey 3, composed by Yuzo Koshiro. So yeah, you know I'm going to love this. One of my favorite soundtracks that I've discovered in a long time. I love, love, love Yuzo Koshiro. I'm going to play two tracks from the soundtrack. This is my favorite that I'm sharing today, a track that we have yet to play on this podcast. This is called Unrest, Their Own Brand of Justice, composed by Yuzo Koshiro. Sorry, I have to fade this down. This keeps going on and on, but we do have a bunch of tracks to get today, so I just did want to kind of fade it down. But this is my choice for track of the week. This is from Etrian Odyssey 3. This is Unrest, Their Own Brand of Justice, composed by Yuzo Koshiro. Love, love, love this track. I am absolutely in love with this track. I love how long he stays on that same bass pedal note for the longest time. He's almost doing every possible chord change you could do over that note. And by the time he changes to that diminished chord, it's so powerful. It's so rewarding. This is a rocking track that features addictive drums, which is one of the best virtual instruments for really nice drum samples that you can that you can get. But the way he's using it here,
mixing it with the PC-88
stuff. Which is such a nerdy thing, but if you're a fan of that tradition and that kind of music, it's just like, it's euphoria.
The drums are fantastic, and they sort of give it that one little character that makes it feel modern. You know, I think it's interesting, you know, we hear so much use of, you know, old hardware, trying to make something sound old. But it's a cool idea of having the drums be sort of the one link to make it more modern.
It's great.
I think that's a wonderful
and then
idea.
Just, you know, I love hearing Yuzo Koshiro's classical influence. I mean, there's just, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I think it's great. He's putting that knowledge to good use. I mean, this isn't classical by any means, but he has a very solid knowledge of harmony and modulation. Very wonderful.
Awesome, dude. So do you want to do the rock, paper, scissors now before yours?
Well, let's listen to mine, and then we can do the rock, paper, scissors, because lose, I don't want to go into this being all mopey and depressed. But my track of the week is also from Rayman Legends, and this is a track that you sort of hear this theme a lot. One thing that happens in the game is after you beat a level, what can happen is it can become invaded, and that sort of means that enemies from later in the game will come back to earlier levels, so it makes these really fun obstacle courses that allow for some really fast-paced running and just great platforming. And this is a theme that we sort of hear repeated throughout. And this is one that the more you hear it and the more you play the game, it just is so infectious and almost makes you play better. Like, having this music makes me play the level better. It's just That's incredible. Cool. This is a track called Olympus Maximus Invaded. And I mentioned before that the two composers are Billy Martin and Christoph Herrall. Christoph Herrall composed a majority of the music, but some of my favorite themes for this game were composed by Billy Martin, and he actually wrote this track that I'm about to play. So without further ado, let's take a listen to my track of the week, Olympus Maximus Invaded. So great. That's Olympus Maximus Invaded. I absolutely love that track.
That was great, man.
And it's one of those things, when the first time you hear it, it just sort of feels functional, but it really is. You know, I got the, after I beat Rayman Legends, I was kind of sad because there was so much imaginative level design. I downloaded that new sort of mobile spinoff called Rayman Fiesta Run. And this is a track that they had in that game. And every level, if you die and replay it, it changes up the music. Mm-hmm. So I found myself dying on purpose to get this song because I did better in the level when I had it. It was just so visceral and rewarding.
This doesn't make me, you know, give away the Etronauts 3, but I will say that I almost like this almost as much as that Etronauts 3 track. This is great.
Isn't it awesome? Yeah, so, dude, I just can't wait for you to play this game.
I think now is probably the time where we have to do our battle. So you know, Will.
Battle for the ages.
There was some confusion last time. This is shoot, so we're going to do it on shoot, okay?
Yeah, I thought you had the confusion. No, that
here
was me,
go.
Folks.
Ready?
I'm getting butterflies here. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right, folks.
Damn it!
I got a rock and he got a scissors. So this track of the week for this week is going to be the Etrian Odyssey 3 one. But I just want to make Will feel better. I loved that Rayman Legend track, so that was a very close contender.
I don't need your pity. you.
All right. To add insult to injury, I'm going to play another Etrian Odyssey 3 track.
Ugh.
This is Labyrinth 5, Chalky Woods, once again composed by Yuzo Koshiro. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Awesome. You're listening to Labyrinth 5 Chalky Woods from Etrian Odyssey 3 for the DS. This was composed by Yuzo Koshiro. This track is really cool. I love the traditional Japanese influence. Now, I kind of gave Will a quiz when we were listening to this, and I was really proud of him. I was like, hey, Will, what soundtrack does this remind me of? And he had to think, and then he said, Shin Onigashima, which is correct. I'm glad that he noticed that. A lot of similarities, some of the melodic...
You say it like it's a fact, like I'm glad he noticed that.
I'm glad he knew that fact, like this is Jeopardy. Yeah, no, a lot of melodic similarities, some of the contour of the of these melodies. Again, they're very pentatonic, they're very Eastern melodies. And again, obviously, since you're hearing those chip sounds, it does kind of reinforce that, you know, that quality.
Right. No, this is great. And one thing I will say, if you playing this Etrian Odyssey track makes you sort of rubbing it in my face, then I guess me playing this next Rayman Legends track is me being a sore loser because I have to play another one.
Fine, I'll allow it.
Well, another reason I wanted to play this one is because I sort of wanted to talk about another facet of the music to this
gosh.
Game. Well, okay, so the last track that I'm going to play is called Strategy and Spying. Again, this is composed by Billy Martin, but there's a whole series of levels
Give
in this game.
Give us the short version.
There's a whole series of levels in this game called, there's this world called 20,000 Lums Under the Sea.
Sounds about right.
And what's cool about it is, though, like I think you remember the water level from the original Rayman Origins and how it was very serene
like
and beautiful. In this game, a lot of the water levels have this sort of spy quality. Like,
that's
there's
cool.
Secrecy, and they all take direct influence from Mission Impossible and James Bond specifically.
Dude, I want to hear it.
A lot of the tracks have sort of fun names like Dive Another Day, or I think there was this other one, The Spy Who Kicked Me, but I didn't play any of those because they were actually too long and I sort of wanted to get to the music. But this one's really fun. This is called Strategy and Spying, and we have a lot of really cool funk elements. Let's take a listen. Is that not freaking incredible?
Hey, well, can I just say that this is actually my favorite track of the day, period. I like this better than my Etrian Odyssey tracks. This is incredibly funky.
Yeah,
I love this, dude.
Told you, this is great. And honestly, this isn't even my favorite spy theme in the game.
Dude, there's nothing funkier.
So that goes to show how great the music in this game is.
There's no funkier meter than 7. When that funk groove comes in 7, that is just
Well, isn't it
disgustingly
authentic
good.
Arrangement, though? It really sounds like old Mission Impossible, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot quirkier than something from a James Bond film because you have that whole woodwind section and you have, like, flute and stuff. But, yeah, there's so many fun meter things. The drum sound is so, like, 70s. I love it.
I just love that dun 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 dun
melody, dirty. Actually, it really reminds me of something from like The Incredibles. There's such a
yes, good call,
a Michael Giacchino sort of style to it, and it also helps that Incredibles was going for a similar sort of palette. But yeah, I was so impressed with all the music to this game. So once again, I'd really just like to encourage you all, please pick up this game. If you have a Wii U, I feel like this is a must have.
Yeah, Christoph Harral and Billy Martin are just absolute geniuses. I'm just
and again,
so impressed
you can
with
get
guys.
The soundtrack. It's available on iTunes or that Amazon Instant Player. It's absolutely wonderful soundtrack. I highly recommend that you get it and play the game because it's really good.
Okay, my turn. I'm going to take the reins now. I'm going to play a track from another PC-98 game, really kind of rare, quirky game not a lot of people know, but I love this soundtrack. This is composed by Junya Ota, and the name of this game is Tahu Kakaiden Mystic Square. I'm going to play a track called Dimension of Reverie. Is so much fun, man. This
a lot
really,
of fun with tempo there.
Yeah, a lot of fun with tempo. This really gets my blood pumping. This is Dimension of Reverie from Tahu Kakaiden Mystic Square, composed by Junya Ota. I love the really fun ornamentations on that lead melody, and it's kind of fun and quirky to hear vibrato on what I consider an organ instrument. You hear some vibrato and you hear those really nice ornamentations.
Right.
I don't know, this whole soundtrack is just so high energy and so intense. Every track
vibrato
is at,
makes it sound like sort of like tremolo through like a Leslie amplifier.
Yeah. Every single track is at such a consistent and similar quality that it was actually really hard to pick specific tracks.
Oh, really?
If you guys remember on our romance episode, this was that soundtrack that we played. Like, most of the music on that episode was very pretty and like jazzy, but there was one like PC-98 track that was just nothing, didn't sound like any of the other tracks in that episode. That was from this game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like Romantic Warrior or something.
I can really empathize with like struggling to pick one of the tracks. I think that's especially hard when there's a game with not one like stellar one, when there's a lot of good music, but not one that's like stand out is great.
Yes,
because
I agree.
It's hard. It's like I want to showcase it the best way possible, but if I can only show one track,
you want it to be the best one on the soundtrack.
That's why I didn't follow that and I just played a lot of music from the same game today.
But, well, what do you got next, Will?
Well, next I'm going to play an NES track because you know me and my love of NES. So I'm actually going to play a little bit more of an obscure track today, but I think this is a really beautiful melody. This is from Godzilla 2 War of the Monsters, but this intro theme that I'm going to be playing for you today has a very pretty melody. There's sort of a tragic nature to it, but it's really sort of fun. It's old school Nintendo sounding, and it has great use of harmony to that melody. So without further ado, let's listen to intro from Godzilla 2, and there's actually no credited composer, unknown composer for this game.
Okay, cool. Let's take a listen.
Thank you. beautiful. That's the intro theme to Godzilla 2. And, you know, whoever this composer is had a great knowledge and affinity to romantic era Western music. Basically, that melody is just so romantic with all the chromaticisms, and the chord progression is so pretty. But especially that B section.
Oh, it's great.
We have all that interesting, you know, playfulness between major and minor. And it's all really sort of classical sounding and very authentic movement. And part rating, again, it's just like this is NES, but it's so full. And it's what I love is, again, we're using those limitations to sort of limitations that we've seen in the past.
You know why it sounds full is because they're using classical music. It's like that's the most economical, efficient way to use three voices to make it sound full and to make it musically pleasing. Like, that's why we keep hearing this genre over and over on the NES. It's so rewarding, and it's kind of sad that it didn't stop. I mean, we know things like Dragon Quest where it continued, but it wasn't as common in any other system as the NES to have so much classical influence. That's why one of the reasons we both love NES music so much is because it's so timeless. Like, this holds up almost in any century. This music would hold up, you know?
I gotta say, there's just something about it that's intrinsically beautiful. I mean,
yeah, I love how that ending just completely just ends abruptly and then it just starts again. We don't know a composer, but this game was developed and published by Toho, which was a company.
Toho was the company that made the Godzilla films.
Yes, in Toho, they did not make many NES games. So whoever was part of the Toho team probably did all those games.
Well, you know, it's funny. It could be someone who maybe worked on the Godzilla films. I know this title's kind of misleading, Godzilla 2. The original Godzilla game was sort of like a side-scroller type of game, sort of fighting combat game. This one was a little bit more strategy-based, and you actually didn't play as Godzilla. You played as sort of the army trying to stop.
I guess it's slightly misleading. I was expecting really misleading. Like, this is like a romance game. It's like a Japanese manga game. All right, so I'm going to move on to a track from the Sega Master System. Now, this track goes out to one of our fans, Simon. A long time ago, he made a suggestion on our Facebook page. Hey, guys, how about some more Sega Master System tracks in the podcast? And for whatever reason, we just haven't had the opportunity to play a lot of Sega Master System stuff. So I really wanted to play one today, and I found a really cool soundtrack.
First of all, where do you get off telling us what to do? Second of all, no, I'm just kidding.
So this is from a track. This is from a game called Black Belt, which is for the Sega Master System. And this was composed by Katsuhiro Hayashi. And I'm going to play the boss theme from Black Belt, which is a kung fu fighting game. So please enjoy Black Belt for the Sega Master System Boss. Awesome. You're listening to Boss from Black Belt for the Sega Master System, and this is composed by Katsuhiro Hayashi, and this goes out to Simon. Hopefully you enjoyed that, Simon. This is a really good track. It kind of reminds me of Yuzo Koshiro, mainly because you hear a lot of classic Yuzo Koshiro stuff on the Game Gear, something like Shinobi, and you know, the Game Gear and Master System sound identical, so it kind of reminds me of some of the Yuzo stuff, some of the Sonic the Hedgehog 1 music. Also, I believe that was Yuzo Koshiro. No, this is really well done. I like the B section, personally.
Yeah.
This part here, I think that's my favorite part.
Yeah, honestly, I gotta say, I think who composed this again?
Katsuhiro Hayashi.
Yeah, I love his melodic craft. I think it's better than Yuzo Koshiro. It's a very pretty piece of music. But yeah, Yuzo's music never really quite does it for me melodically. I don't find it as catchy as a lot of other video game music. Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't think that's the heart of what makes his music so good. It's not necessarily his melodies. It's
but
other
I feel
things.
Like there's a way where it's like, you know, sometimes when the melodies are good, then I really resonate with it because it's like
he's
for me,
definitely
it's just like chords
some
and rhythms,
phenomenal melodies in his day. Absolutely. I mean, Palace from Ease. That's just you can't beat that melody. But not all the time. I know what you're saying.
Right.
Not every single one. Well, I believe it's time for your last track, right, Will?
Oh, this is tragic. Well, the last track that I'm playing today is from a game called Survival Kids for the Game Boy. Now, this game was actually developed by Konami, you know, which is just a legendary sound team. And again, I found this soundtrack on the website that we talked about last time, Game Music Appreciation, which is so helpful for anyone who's trying to discover new soundtracks. And what caught my attention was that name, Konami. And if it wasn't for the fact that it was a Konami game, I probably would have skipped over because it was a game that I'd never really heard of and, you know, being on the Game Boy, but I listened to it and there's some great music in here. So this is track 9.
Yeah, and then the composers for this one I was able to find for Will. This is Atsushi Fujio and Yasuhiro Ichihashi.
Interesting. Well, the track, I believe, doesn't have a title, so this is track 9 from Survival Kids from the Game Boy. Awesome stuff. That's track 9 from Survival Kids from the Game Boy. In general, there's such a fun sort of pop sound to this. You know, a sort of a 90s ballad quality to it that I just really like.
Yeah, very excellent. Sort
of expressive chord stuff for a Game Boy track. You know, it's crazy how I feel like we get so much of the chord information, you know, it's really impressive. You know, a lot of times there's a lot of implying that goes on with video game music because of the limitations where it's like the melody and bass will have to imply full chord progressions. But here I feel like we're very much told specifically what some of these chords are. And I think that really sort of helps.
It's very clear
to shape the phrases.
I like the rhythms of this piece. I love the use of triplets. Dun, 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 dun. There's one part where they have a nice descending triplet line that feels very strong and rigid. Gives it a lot of confidence here, a lot of confident writing. This is great.
Yeah, this is pretty. Pretty stuff.
All right, it's now time to move on to the last track of mine. This is from one of my favorite recent discoveries, soundtrack for the Sega Genesis as well as the arcade. We've played a Genesis track on our Genesis episode from the soundtrack. We've also played a track on our Arcade Games 2 episode. And this soundtrack was... the track of the week on that Arcade Games 2 was from this soundtrack, Outrunners.
Oh, right.
Excellent soundtrack. This particular track was composed by Junko Shiratsu and Takayuki Nakamura. I'm going to play a track that we've never played so far. This is Speed King from the Sega Genesis version of Outrunners. love that groove, man. So great. We had such a great time today. Thanks so much, guys, for joining us for Show and Tell 9. This is a very groovy episode. I got to say, the music on this episode really made me groove. A lot of great picks. I do have to say that I think Will's track, the last track he played from Rayman Legends for me, took the cake today. I love that so much. But in general, yeah, great soundtrack.
Maybe
I look
if we can do
that
hidden link thing. I don't know if we can do that, but that would be kind of fun. But yeah, one thing I will describe, you know, all the music that we played today is very visceral. It's very stimulating on sort of a very gut emotional level. You know, there's not a lot of thinking that needs to go on with this music. It's just very feel good. And like you said, you know, there's a lot of great rhythmic stuff going on here. So
yeah, this is kind of a nice dance mix. You know, this is something you could exercise to. But yeah, thanks so much for joining us, guys. We're very excited for some great episodes we got coming up. Once again, hopefully you guys enjoyed last week. If you missed it, just a little want to give a little shout out. That was our David Wise episode where we got to interview the man himself. So
I mean,
if you missed
one
that,
of our, here's one of our heroes. I mean, he's just a legendary composer. You know, so many people have grown up with his music. It was such a treat to get to talk to him and interview him about his legendary career. So yeah, if you missed that, definitely go back, because you'll not want to miss that, because he also talks about the upcoming game that he worked on, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which I mean, I look forward to. I'm sure it has a stellar soundtrack.
Oh, and also we wanted to mention, once again, we are going to be at MAGFest this year from January 2nd to the 5th, and that is coming up. So definitely come out if anyone was thinking about it. We look forward to seeing some of you guys.
Yeah, we weren't quick enough to get a booth this year. We were a little bit too slow on the draw for that. But we'll still be there, so if you're there, try to come see us. We'll be dressed in blue Super Mercado Brothers shirts, and there'll be some interesting stuff going on this year. So we really look forward to seeing anybody there and just, you know, going to that convention, being completely surrounded and immersed in video games and game music culture. So
yeah, we'll definitely
be posting
some stuff from MAGFest, so look forward to that. Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Stay warm, everybody.
Peace out.